Hello, fellows. We want to report on the meeting we had yesterday with the executive and study committees. As you know from the wire from Bob Sweezy, we had a good long meeting, went into great detail on our new projected weekend radio service. We're calling it Monitor, and our projected starting date is June 12th. We had a meeting in sales plan and the compensation and our general reasoning and philosophy. Very enthusiastic, and I think unanimous, actually, in the way they felt that this was something that was highly commendable, and I hope most of them thought that it would really work. We certainly do. Now, in this closed circuit, we can give only really the highlights of the service rather than go into details that should be handled, I think, a little more confidentially than on a nationwide closed circuit. So our station relations people will be calling on you where possible. They'll be reaching you by mail. We're getting up all the information and presentation on this project. And I have with me here Jim Fleming, who's the executive producer of Monitor, and you'll remember from today and Voices and Events and his records and all the rest of it, and he knows this kind of a show better than anybody in the country. And he's going to illustrate with some excerpts and give you some of the talk about what the show will be like, and then I will come back with some more info on the show and the general philosophy after you've gotten a feel of what Monitor will be like. So, Jim, take it over.
Thank you, Pat. I'll try to bring a picture of what's happened so far on this very exciting new assignment. Monitor. Monitor, the new NBC radio service. Not a program, a continuous service running from 8 a.m. Saturday Eastern Time until midnight Sunday, perhaps beyond. And as you'll hear, it's an entirely new sound and concept. Variety, comedy, entertainment, news, sports, special events. Monitor sweeps the shortwave spectrum. Monitor brings the drama of Broadway and Hollywood. And it does these things with a format that's a complete departure, complete from programming of the past. A few moments ago, I walked by what used to be the NBC Master Control Room on the fifth floor of the RCA building, and believe me, some changes are being made. Workmen are beginning the construction of Monitor's home base, NBC Radio Central, a communications center that will really be in touch with the world. I have the sketches here before me. An immense communicator's desk in the center. At the broadcaster's command, a battery of switches placing him instantly in touch with all the domestic and overseas pickup points. Newsroom on one side, tape room on the other, auxiliary studios. It's going to be quite a place. Monitor is going to be a new sound. An important service for all who listen. And even now, as our preparations go forward, we can pause for a preview.
The Naval Observatory signals the hour, and this is Monitor, the new NBC radio service. Dave Garraway here. Let's check off some seconds. 10 seconds past the hour. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Your time is right, friend. And Monitor is at your service with another hour of entertainment and vital information. Table of contents, page one, Morgan Beatty checks the headlines, and Art Buchwald monitors the latest from Paris. Page two, Monitor checks the ball games, goes to the races. Page three, music from four capitals. Page four, the blackboard jungle. Page five, through the sound barrier over Boston. This is Monitor, listening and reporting for the nation and the world.
This is Morgan Beatty with the latest summary of the news. Moscow, the Kremlin, made another move on the world checkerboard today, a move perhaps to wet down the fires of world tension. Molotov called in all foreign correspondents to explain away the behavior of Soviet disarmament delegate Andrei Gromyko and his recent interviews. Mr. Gromyko said the Soviet Foreign Office was merely correcting distortions in the Western press. Sounds as if Moscow is saying, forgive, please. Paris, Premier Faure, won another vote of confidence today to impose economic rules on his volatile countrymen. But there is still an undercurrent of rebellion against the rearming of Germany. On this point, let's get a direct report from Monitor's roving correspondent, Art Buchwald, standing by in Paris. Art, how do the French people really feel about the Germans today?
When you ask a Frenchman what he thinks of the Germans, it's very hard to get an understandable answer. He may sputter, start waving his hands, or become red in the face. Very few Frenchmen we know can keep their emotions to themselves when the questions of the Germans comes up. For one thing, next to the Americans, the Germans are becoming the most important tourist group in France. Whereas 4 years ago, most stores had signs, "We speak English," many have now added, "We speak German." The favorite joke concerning the Germans is about two German tourists who agreed amongst themselves that when they went to Paris, they would pose as English tourists. "We will talk only English," they said. When they arrived, they went to the Crillon bar, and one German said, "Martinis." "Dry?" asked the bartender. "No, you fool," said the German. "Zwei." This is Art Buckwall reporting from Paris.
1 hour from now, Monitor checks Berlin for a German view of France.
Billboarding the news specials for the approaching hour will be a consistent feature of Monitor. There will be no repetition of the same 5-minute pattern hour after hour. We plan to achieve editorial variety by introducing analysis, overseas pickups, spot pickups on breaking stories, background material, biographies. It will never be a matter of the same old news. We'll use the mobility of the network in its utmost in this respect. Next on Monitor will come the sports package, as long or short as the sports news demands. Baseball, a complete rundown of all major games. Spot pickups of important events and progress. Here again, we'll go to them as they happen, when they happen. It may be early evening in the East, but they're racing at this moment in California at Santa Anita. And we'll tell you now that within the next 20 minutes, we'll switch to the big race as the horses reach the post. A typical Monitor hour will begin with the news and sports as we've just described. The team of broadcasters, a newsman, and an entertainment man will be stars in their fields. They'll work in 4-hour shifts and they're going to be busy. Let's move along around the clock on this typical Monitor hour. Say now we're at 10 minutes after the hour and we move to the swiftly changing variety pattern of Monitor, following the fixed features of news and sports. Literally turning the electronic pages of a great magazine. A constantly changing pattern. A constant forward index. You may not care for our pickup of a bowling match, but you'll want to hear what Benny Goodman has to say in a few minutes, and you'll know that he's coming up. Speaking of music, our plans include a lot of it, most of it live. The great bands on dance remotes, live music from Chicago, Los Angeles, dancing parties at NBC Monitor there, and believe me, Monitor may get pretty remote, speaking of dance remotes. Last Monday, we sent our German correspondent, Bob McCormick, to Munich to audition some prospects in Bavaria. He sent back a good one.
Wo ist denn nur, so fragt man oft, auf dieser weiten Welt? Der wirklich allerschönste Platz, der jedem gut gefällt.
Der eine schwärmt für Natur,
für'n Sportplatz, der andere nur.
Doch frage nur jeden Mann, und ehrlich sagt er dir dann,
der schönste Platz ist immer an der Theke.
Ja, an der Theke ist der schönste Platz.
Ich steh so gerne dort, an diesem schönen Ort. Und keine Pferde ziehen dort so schnell mich fort.
Denn an der Theke, ja, an der Theke, nur an der Theke ist der allerschönste Platz.
And that popular Munich song translates, "The nicest place is at the bar." Our next stop is Paris.
Good evening. It's 11:15 Paris time. Showtime here at the Lido, a lavish supper club and showplace on the Avenue des Champs-Élysées. The Lido Orchestra concludes the overture. The show is ready to begin. We'll have prologue, the famous Bluebell Girls, Showgirls, and singer Glenn Burns. The lights go down. The stage now is black.
Well, that gives you an idea, and the pages keep turning. How long is a monitor feature in this changing pattern? Well, it might be 10 seconds in the form of a snapper from Hope, or a dramatic vignette from Broadway running 10 or 12 minutes. A soundtrack from Hollywood.
The new film, Blackboard Jungle, presents such a frightening picture of high school life, insolence, defiance, vandalism, assault. Many voices have been raised in protest. It's the story of a young man in a vocational school trying to teach a classroom full of rowdies and hoodlums. My own view is that American schools are not like this on the whole. But in some districts, and the movies or any art form, should be free to present the exceptional, even the shocking. Now here's a taste of this film from the soundtrack. The young teacher, played by Glenn Ford, is trying to hold the class.
Now, the subject you're going to learn in this class is English. Some of you may wonder if English can help you get a job as a carpenter, a mechanic, or an electrician. The answer is yes. In fact, it may even surprise you to find that English is your favorite subject.
All right? I'll be surprised, all right.
There'll be no calling out now. If you've got any questions asked, just raise your hand. You hear that, Miller?
Sure, Teach. You coming in strong. I can't tune you out.
His name ain't Teach. Daddy-o.
Hey, don't you know his name, Jerk?
Excuse me, Mr. Jerk.
All right, Wes, since you're so cooperative, suppose you stay after class and help me out.
I'm busy.
I'll go on, Artie. Help him out.
Then you could be together alone.
Oh, Daddy-o.
People in trouble, people having fun, the most interesting person you ever met, or a criminal in flight. Monitor's curiosity is endless. Why, we even talk to poets.
This is Ogden Nash. I've been thinking about people, and it seems to me that people are very brave. People are the bravest things there are, because people are composed of men and women, and men are brave enough to marry women, and women are brave enough to marry men, and then after that, many of them are sensible enough to stay married. Then, of course, the husbands are always anxious to find something to talk about, and hats provide a never-failing topic. Darling, what is that? That angel is a hat. Are you positive? Are you certain? Are you sure it's not a curtain? Shall you really place your head in it? How's for keeping cakes instead? Say a cloth for drying dishes, or a net for catching fishes. Oh, may the furies batter that 11-fingered hatter. May doom and gloom and swaddle the creator of this model. I hope he made a lot of them, the dozens he has got of them. I hope he has a harem, and all his spouses wear 'em.
That was Ogden Nash, but it might have been Milton Berle or Fred Allen or any other able raconteur. Because Monitor is a service with a sense of humor, and the service will be spiced with the brighter side of life. But anything on the service is subject to instant interruption when the big event is ready, news, sports, whatever it is. We just now billboarded the big race at Santa Anita, and this would be the moment we might go to it. Just to suggest that a good horse race is possibly better on radio than TV, and is there any doubt about that, listen to a moment from the past, when Seabiscuit and War Admiral were coming down the stretch in that great match race of theirs, when Clem McCarthy was giving the call. It might be more or less like this at Santa Anita.
Now the horse race is on. Watch for them now as they turn into the stretch, head and head, both horses under a drive. This is a real horse race, just what we hoped we'd get. They're head and head, and both jockeys driving. It's the best horse from here in. They've got 200 yards to come. It's horse against horse. Both of them driving. Seabiscuit leads by a length. Now Seabiscuit by a length and a half. Wolf has put away his whip. Seabiscuit by three. Seabiscuit by three. Seabiscuit is the winner by 4 lengths.
Monitor will use the greatest asset a radio network has to offer. Its mobility will go places, get on the scene immediately when there's breaking news. And we'll have our plan pickups. Right now, with the cooperation of the Pentagon, we're setting up planned special events. For example, a day with the Air Force, as hour after hour, at specified times, we follow supersonic jets around the world.
All this weekend, Monitor is living with the men who fly the jets, and we're flying with them at supersonic speed. This is W.W. Chaplin. I'm standing now inside a hangar at Westover Field, near Springfield, Massachusetts. It's a quiet and tense moment now as we stand by for a practice jet scramble. When the horn sounds, these pilots who protect America's northeastern frontier will have their ships underway within minutes. Stand by.
Scramble! Go!
Jets are ready. They're signaling for me to get aboard. Okay. This is W.W. Chaplin. We'll be checking in within the next few minutes, broadcasting from the air. Here we go.
Will Chaplin get through the sound barrier? Well, you just know he will. Monitor can serve by introducing north to south, east to west, or what's the network for? We'll be in touch with you soon to ask for your help and suggestions along these lines. And before I forget, and this is very important in our planning, Monitor checks TV, that old-fashioned medium. We'll simulcast programs and usurp high points, times we'll meet the TV stars and special interviews. You may be out in your car, but Monitor will give you the word about television through the day. In fact, we may have a few words that TV can't give you. I mean their very own warm-ups. Those are those impromptu sessions before the show. And here you are.
And the star of our show, I'm just not going to search for any adjectives because he can take care of that himself. Come on out here, George Goble.
Thank you very much and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very glad to be here, and I'll do my best to entertain you for the next half hour or so with this little swindle, or this little show, rather, that we have. And if I don't do too well tonight, I hope you'll kind of forgive me and overlook it because I haven't been feeling very well. Lately, I've had this, it's not exactly a cold, but I had one of them air-conditioned rooms, you know, and I'd come in out of the warm temperature, and, I got a hangover, is what I got, if you want to know. Like me, and this is a hell of a time to be fixing the camera, buddy. I'm not used to working with this inferior equipment. Getting started any way at all in television is pretty difficult, and then if you have a show of your own, like when Walter Winchell went on the first time, remember he did a lot of talking about the Cancer Fund, and when Bob Hope was on, he did some wonderful work for the cerebral palsy people and Eddie Cantor for the Heart Fund, and by the time I got started in television, all the nice diseases were taken. I end up with a few choices like flu and measles. I did have a very nice offer from the water on the knee people. However, there's a fella, anything got anything to do with that water, I don't believe I'll fool with it. You know? But there's a fella sitting down here and tells me I got just about 2 minutes and it takes me just about that long to tighten up, so I'll see you a little bit later on.
Well, that's the report of our work in progress to date. It takes George Goble a couple of minutes to tighten up. We've got several weeks to tighten up. And, Pat, that's our story up to now.
Okay, Jim, that's fine. I think now you get a feeling of what it is that we will start and run from 8 a.m. Saturday morning until midnight Sunday night. A flow of information and service that will be quite unusual. I'd like to just more or less go into some of the thinking behind it because I think it's pretty important. You know, one of the things that we, who are advertising men essentially, worry about in the radio falling away of radio business and the reuse of radio by the national advertisers was the analysis of why, when it was the great medium, we did do such a great job in terms of revenue as well as others. The fact simply was that radio was an indispensable marketing tool for a consumer goods product as long as radio was delivering the American market. That is, the cumulative audience was really the reason why you had to use radio. It was not your per-program ratings, but even those, when in the big shows were getting 20s and 25s, and when in the course of a three-week period, as I know both as a client and the agency man concerned on the Jack Benny show when it was on NBC, we would reach 75-80% of the homes regularly with that one attraction. Now, you just have to use advertising when it has that kind of power. But today, as we have had several years of television competition, you no longer get either the individual program ratings or these great cumulative ratings, and it makes it possible for the major advertisers to look upon radio as they look upon an element of their print schedule and say, well, it is a good value. There's no question about it being a good value, but our plans are to do something else. This is a most important and little-known point in why radio has gotten into such trouble in terms of its national network revenue. When the big advertiser could reach the American market in a few weeks and get his message over more effectively, always, than in print, which now the fellows have forgotten, but this was our argument that we used all those years, he just had to be in the business. I mean, I won't argue this with you. You all know it. But the question is, what do we do now? We aren't going to have 20 ratings anymore. You can't build a radio show that's going to pull a 25 rating away from television attractions. It's just not going to happen. But if we look at it the other way, if we say to ourselves, if television had come first, would there never have been a national radio service? This is something that I went into at great length a few years ago with you, but you've undoubtedly been fortunate enough to forget it. I won't repeat it all, but essentially the answer is, of course there'd have been a sound service immediately, and a strong one, because people can't spend hours and hours and hours just staring at the television set. They must get away from it, get relief from it, yet they will be so intrigued by the opportunities of information and entertainment available through radio, through the sound of television, that they will insist on sound services. This brought up in our planning the point that radio became what it was, as you older fellows will remember, who got cracking in this business, some of you even before me, and that was almost 25 years ago. We built the programming structure and the advertising patterns empirically. They were not done by a study of what would be best or what would most serve the needs of the whole family audiences. We just were working, and we came out with what we came out, and a very good job, too. Now the question, however, is we can sit back and say, what kind of a sound service can be built that will give long, productive usefulness to the American public? How can we sell that service to advertisers so that it will be productive and useful for them, and they can now believe that they will use it in their projected budgets no matter how far ahead they look? Something I might say that a great many major consumer goods companies do not do. That is, they are either out of radio or they are considering going out of radio. And they will go out of radio unless we find a form that redelivers most of the American public to the advertisers. Well, the minute you start looking at programming in terms of what you would do rather than what we ended up, you might as well look at all sources of programming information that are available in the field of mass media. Radio got ideas for programs good enough to sustain either a quarter hour, a half hour, or an hour. But there are many ideas and many things that won't sustain and do not fall into patterns with other things that make what we call radio programs, but doesn't mean they aren't good. For instance, if you read the Reader's Digest, you'll notice all the lubricating little things they have in there, all the variety of different approaches and types, things about people, human interest stories, little dramatic vignettes, little jokes and funny sayings and anecdotes. All this kind of material, for instance, is not useful in present-day radio service, but it is useful when you get to monitor, as you could easily see from what you've already heard. You have a form now that merely says that from our communication center, anything of interest or that can be made of interest to the people will bring to the people, and in a form that has a vignette feel to it. In other words, if you don't like what's announced and what is going to play, you know roughly what time it will take, and you can come back. You know that if you don't like a television show, if you go out and get in the car, if you go up in your bedroom, if you're in the kitchen, There'll be, in the weekend period at least, there will be an easily memorable framework of attractions that you can join and go out of completely at your convenience. It is a service tailored for you that will be highly interesting and amusing and moving when you want it. And it will have other service elements too, of course, like the news and music, but this is available elsewhere. The key point, although not in the form that we're projecting it, that is, the news is not available elsewhere in the form we're projecting it, and probably not music in many of the pickups and remotes, as you know. But essentially, we can once again have the whole American public know that any time in the weekend, they need not be alone, and they don't have to sit there looking at the television set. They can turn this service on, and in will come the flow. It will be like having a personal editor who would go out and listen to everything, read everything, know everything, and then be there at your as your little tame cap and bells jester with the whole range of moods, telling you the very best of everything that's happening. Now, you certainly can't ask us to do much more than that, to have a little personal little man or leprechaun at the foot of each individual in the country to give him the word on everything, variety, change of pace. We didn't go into some of the little hunks, that Jim didn't, that intrigue me more, and without saying that these are going to be in, because this is a matter that we will get into or getting into. But, for instance, eyewitness, everything that ever happened, you have eyewitness reports. Well, the form, you do a show called Eyewitness, or the original radio show, I Was There, the form suddenly changes the whole basic idea. The basic idea, the best idea, is to get the eyewitness, give a little description, and have him tell what he saw. But in order to, you force the material to fit the form, and this is wrong. Where are they now is the same thing. This is no good, really, for a program, but it's great if you just get, you know, where is somebody now? I won't mention any names, but there are a lot of people that aren't around now that we all know and have heard about, and you can do great little vignettes, human interest vignettes, on where are they now, what are they doing, and have them say a few words. The whole range of human interest, vox pop, you just keep going, Ripley. The attractions that you see around, the kinds of information, are just unlimited. And they all fit a form. Once you don't say it has to be a half-hour show, it has to be a quarter-hour show, once you just say whatever it is, it should be done, tailored to be the best performance of that material. This is the essential idea of Mr. Om, which you fellas in the television side may remember that we did in 1950. Later, thought of identically in the same form by Omnibus. But Mr. Om originally started on the premise that the writer fixes his material, whether funny or moving or humorous or whatever, to the identical, exact pattern that makes it the most effective. And that's the length it is. And we put together the various elements and do a concert of information, education, humor, drama, and so forth. And out we come. Now, about the material, we have been recording already material with names who are well known to you. We are going to our big stars where we will have them do a session with us in which they will record a lot of different information that is in good forms in these little brief inserts. For instance, you get a star like Fred Allen or Jimmy Durante, and you have them record different human interest stories about themselves, you know, their first long pants, their first engagement, the thing they'll never forget, the biggest faux pas they ever made, whatever the subject matter might be, each an individual little hunk that you will pick up at the proper time when it's relevant to whatever the form of the show is on during the service, or even because you want the pace. You want a one-line joke, so you punch up a joke, and he says, drink a slow poison, that's all right, I'm in no hurry. Back to the man, you see, the communications man. Or it doesn't have to be just comedy, although there, again, we talked about getting a more variety of names, perhaps by getting some of the club comics, you know, fellas like even Henny Youngman, Jack Carter, those boys, and get them in and have them do something like the Joe Miller joke book on file. They tell joke in their own style, but you just punch up a joke. Now, this is something that that these boys wouldn't do, except that we will for them at a proper time say that they're opening in the Latin Quarter or that they're going on as a guest star on such and such a show. In other words, it'll be good for them to be on and do this and do other things. We might have satires of all of our shows done by Bob and Ray or done by a cast of comedians in, again, little vignette forms. In the drama field, you not only have the human interest type moving drama, such as we had in Mr. Om, but you have all these wonderful things that are very brief and had no usefulness in our old radio. I'm thinking now of the shortest ghost story in the world that you may have heard that goes like this. The last man in the world was sitting in his room. Suddenly, there was a knock at the door. Stinger, back to the communicator, and we're on to the next subject, you see. And the next subject might be something else. It might be an actor who does plays in our gallery of famous fictional characters, or it might be a scene from living persons as we build what will eventually be obituaries, but looking on the brighter side, more biography, or we'll do accolade, pick out the people who deserve an accolade for the week, something that they've done. Or complaints, beefs. People, now we go to you and say, get us 10 housewives, each one with a complaint, and have them record, I'm Mrs. Harrison Crean of 29 Fenachrone on such and such a street, and my complaint is, and then she says it, and at the end, again, back to us. We could literally waste your whole afternoon thinking up things of this sort, because for the first time, radio really looks at the whole field with no rules. The only rule is it interesting? Is it absorbing? Is it amusing? Will people say, did you hear that, and then go ahead? The minute they do that, we're in business. The minute, once again, people are going around saying, did you hear Milton Berle's joke? Did you hear the moving little vignette they had? Or whatever they say, the minute they do that, we're back in the big time. We've got the big audience back, and we're really rolling. Now, this new form that we're talking about also is a whole new approach to our artists, that is, to big names as well as little names. We can go to our artists and to movie people, and we can make deals where they will do material for us to use, tell jokes, anecdotes, memories, favorite musical numbers, or the whole list of stuff, but relevant and done well. We can do do you remember this voice with the soundtrack 20 years ago in a movie as a gimmick for a movie with a star and plug that star's appearance in a new picture or something of this sort. We mentioned to the committee that in promotion of magazines, books, pictures, television, we intend to use radio for promotion to get the great names once again crossing our radio stage. This show will have more people on it and more important people saying things of high interest and repeatable values than probably anything that has ever been attempted. It will even be able to top the original Today plans because of the fact that tape on radio is perfect and film on television isn't, certainly isn't yet, with the result that we can do things in this show that we just couldn't do on TV. The question of covering television has been covered, and you will get more information on that. We certainly do not want to make the mistake that radio made for several years of standing aside from the mainstream of American life, television, and pretending it wasn't there. Radio must face the facts and be adult about the whole thing and realize what it is, an electronic medium like television in the home with a tremendous number of assets that television hasn't got. And it's when you find your form within the realities of the two media complementing each other in the home and elsewhere that you build an enduring service. Now, on advertising, if this program works the way we think, we will, in addition to the ratings and the automobile usage and the portable usage and so forth, we hope getting the listeners to your station, to our network, up as we go from period to period through this whole period, we'll also get more and more of the people to tune in for part of the time. The cumulative audience will rise. I certainly will be very unhappy unless we are able to build this thing up to where we're getting a 50% cumulative on the weekend. This is not perhaps right away, but it is certainly what we intend to do. And why not? A third of the people are probably out driving, and that's right away you can get them, because this will just be great driving stuff. Anybody who isn't listening to music for secondary listening, that is, the music stations are really secondary listening stations, not listening stations. And that's one reason we aren't going to be a secondary listening station in this form. But the minute you get all these people, get the word to them what we have, and they start using it, we expect a 50 cumulative. Well, that doesn't do you any good if you're an advertiser unless you reach the 50. You only reach the people who are listening when your advertising is on. So what does that mean? It means to follow more, but more with more vigor, the things we've already done, the pattern of placing ads at different times, and instead of spending your whole money at a time period that is your own time period in the old program sponsorship basis, you go to a pattern of positions which get overlapping audiences, and adding them all together, you will reach, again, the big audience. We do that now with our present forms, but we will do much better with the new forms, because on the weekend service, on monitor, we are planning the flexibility of 1 minute, 30 seconds, and 6 second billboards, really poster ads on radio. This is the result of a lot of work and study on how to make the advertiser come back into radio almost on a forced basis. In other words, if the program gets a 50 cumulative, and if an advertiser for consumer products can move in with a poster campaign or a series of 30 seconds, or if he can afford it a series of minutes, and really get for himself that 50 rating, he will have enough power in his selling effectiveness with his campaign so that he's in business with us. He is back in the medium to stay. It is no longer a question of dropping radio as you could drop a magazine off your list, because while a good value, it is not imperative that he use it. It will be imperative that he use it. Now, this calls for the kind of flexibility and approach by the station managers that they have demonstrated in television over these last 5 or 6 years as we've gone into these new projects. And as you will recall, they have been a great source of strength for television. We would never have built what we have built if we had depended upon the old line patterns. And I won't try to sell you on the necessity of the three kinds of advertising now, except to say that the boys who are in on these decisions are the heads of the agencies, of the major agencies who now work for NBC. And this is advertising know-how at work. We know how the clients operate. We know how the agency procedures are set up and what you must do to get the money. And this is what we think you have to do to get the money. Actually, we're very keen. I think the billboard poster plan has tremendous vitality on the 10-year view. And that's what we have. This is not another retreat. This is a rewrite of the medium as though it had never been before, to do the greatest job and to be harnessed in the right way to do the greatest product selling job for our advertisers. And if it works right, we'll have the big audiences again, although in a little different form, and we'll have the advertising again in a pattern unlike the old program pattern, but a pattern that is effective and useful and works for the advertiser. If it does that, in comes the money. And if the money comes in, then we can broaden our scope and do a lot of things, and we'll be in business a long time together. So I think what I'm really ending up here on is that we've done a lot of thinking about this. It is, of course, you can see some of its earlier attempts at this type of thing, both in our television projects and in some of the radio shows and radio commercial patterns. But we think here we've gone beyond that, that we've really started over again and said, let's say that television is 100% of all homes, that we have 100% saturation and we're getting a second set in the homes, a lot of them. Then what? Then what? Because that's only a few years away. And our answer is a series of program material vignettes of the type you've been hearing about from us today, and a series of advertising patterns that the more we get into it, the more excited we get. And the more excited we get, the more we want all of you fellas to get excited, too. So we're going to make our run on Monitor starting June 12th, and you will get all the detail about it very shortly, and we hope that you will be with it and will do those necessary things, both on your own personal schedules and also in your own, the back of your own brains, where it conflicts with some of the things that you have always been used to and have found good, that you will still say, let's go ahead and let's try to change and see if we can make this thing go. And with those words and leaving out an emotional closing, since it's Friday and we all want to get away, except that I'm not going to, I will close and hope that you will all be with us. We're counting on you.